Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com, a travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
Music news. A little, birthdays. Let's start off in music with, you want Gene Autry? There you go. He was born in 1907 on this day, by the way. Passed away in 98 and 91. Anyway, let me really get to a couple of things. Billy Strange, born in 1930 on this date, singer-songwriter, guitarist Billy Strange was a session musician with the famed Wrecking Crew. I keep telling you guys, you better watch that documentary, Wrecking Crew. He appeared on songs for Elvis Presley, including A Little Less Conversation, Nancy and Frank Sinatra's Something Stupid, and worked with The Ventures, Willie Nelson, The Everly Brothers, Wanda Jackson, The Beach Boys, Randy Newman, and Nat King Cole, among others. He passed away 2012 on February 22nd at the age of 81. You want some great balls of fire? You certainly don't want your balls on fire. But Jerry Lee Lewis was born on this day back in 1935. Had the number one single in the U.S. in 1958 with Great Balls of Fire. It was a 57 multi-million seller. Whole lot of shaking going on. What else do we have here? Mark Farner, by the way, celebrating a birthday today. American singer, songwriter, guitarist. Best known as the lead singer and lead guitarist for Grand Funk Railroad. Number one single was their version of Everybody's Doing a Brand New Dance Now. Come on, baby, do. There you go. Todd Rundgren, by the way, was the producer of that song. Most successful song for them in the U.S. The band sold over 20 million albums. Grand Funk. I still remember to this date the 45 of Grand Funk Railroad and Locomotion. And if I remember correctly, it was like red and blue, and there was a little white inside the 45 because the logo was those colors. And it had, obviously, Grand Funk Railroad, Locomotion, all that stuff. And I think I burned out that 45, bro. I think I just played it over and over and over. Let's see, what else do we have here? Ian Baker, keyboardist with the group Jesus Jones, right here, right now, back in 1990, was a hit in the U.S., number two on the U.S. Open charts there. Love this guy. Born in 1967 on this date, Brett Anderson. Not the often injured pitcher in baseball. No. Brett Anderson, singer-songwriter from the alternative rock band Suede. Some of you may know him as London Suede also. Stay Together, all that. They disbanded back in 2003, and he briefly fronted The Tears and had released four solo albums. Love Brett Anderson. And if you're not into Suede, I want you to grab, which is the one with the heroin song. What's the name of that album? I got to look it up. I'll look it up in a minute, and I'll tell you. It's like
Needles?
No, it's not called Needles. I'll tell you the album because it's got like a green, light green and dark green in
brown.
It.
Brown.
No. Anyway, so a really good album. If you like Suede, or if you don't and you kind of like the alternative music, I'll get you into Suede and you'll be a big fan of it. I could tell you that. Joshua Farrow. I've seen this band. Born in 1987 on this date. He's the guitarist from the American rock band Paramore. All right. Let's see, what else do we have here on this date in music historia? Bob Dylan wrote a glowing review. Robert Shelton wrote a glowing review of Bob Dylan's support slot at the Jurdy's Folk City in New York Times, calling him one of the most distinctive stylists to play Manhattan in months. On the same day, Dylan played harmonica at a recording session produced by John Hammond. The Beatles, in 1967 on this date, working at Abbey Road in London, the Beatles mixed the new John Lennon song, I Am the Walrus, Cuckoo Ca-Choo, which included the sound of a radio being tuned through numerous stations, coming to rest on a BBC production of William Shakespeare's King Lear. Lennon composed the song by combining three songs he'd been working on when he learned that a teacher at his old primary school was having his students analyze Beatles lyrics. He added a verse of nonsense words. On this date in 73, Grand Funk Railroad went to number one on the U.S. singles charts with We're an American Band, the group's first of two U.S. chart toppers. The Police in 1979 had their first U.K. single with Message in a Bottle, the group's third top 20 hit song. It was released as the first single from the Regatta de Blanc album, also topped the charts in Ireland, reached number five in Australia. Despite its popularity in the U.K., the single only reached 74 in the U.S. charts. How about that? It's almost like once we got to Ghost in the Machine, we then started to go back and appreciate what was already made before Ghost in the Machine, which to this day still is my favorite album, by the way. Ghost in the Machine is a freaking masterpiece. I know Synchronicity is the greatest.
No, what? Are you kidding me? Zenyatta Mandata.
Oh, that's also a good
that's
one.
When we got.
I mean, they're all good.
That's when we got. There is not one.
No, there's no bad album.
Alanis Day or more.
No, it's awesome. I got them all.
All of them.
All of them.
Yes.
Of them. The entire catalog is the best. But I love Ghost in the Machine, bro. It is.
See, I love Invisible Sun. I absolutely love Invisible Sun. It's probably one of my favorites.
It's a great song.
But. Yeah, it's hard for me not to pick Zenyatta Mandata.
That's fine.
Because Zenyatta, for me, was the neighbors around the block. We all had our Atari, you know, at that age.
Yeah.
And his brother, older brother, would go to work. So we would take over the big TV. We'd throw in the 8-track of Zenyatta Mandata and play Atari all day.
Of course. In 87 on this date, Pink Floyd's 13th studio album, which is an excellent one, too. A Momentary Lapse of Reason was on the UK charts. The shoot for the album cover involved dragging 800 hospital beds onto the Saunton Sands in Devon, but rain interrupted the session, and they had to repeat the exercise 2 weeks later. A hang glider can be seen in the sky, a possible reference to the track Learning to Fly. Photographer Robert Dowling won a gold award at the Association of Photographers Awards for the image, which took about 2 weeks to create. Never knew that. When I read that, I was like, wow, this is actually a pretty cool note. That's if you actually like Pink Floyd. 1992, this one's interesting. American singer-songwriter Paul Jabara died. Some of you may not know him. From lymphoma related AIDS at the age of 44. He wrote Donna Summer's Oscar Grammy winning hit Last Dance and Barbara Streisand's The Main Event and co-wrote the Weather Girls hit It's Raining Men with Paul Schaefer. Okay. That's why I wanted to mention, because most people, you tell them Paul Jabara and they're like, who the hell is that? And so just in case, he's, you know, pretty talented, I would say. Keith Moon in 2004, yes, he was dead, but his 5-piece drum kit, custom made for the Who drummer in 68, sold for $215,000 in London to an American collector, setting a world auction record for a set of drums. It's pretty cool, man. These are Keith Moon's drums. That's not bad if you're a big Who fan, you know what I'm saying? U.S. rapper Kanye West on this date in 2007, 50 Cent was beaten by rap star Kanye West in the standoff to claim the best-selling album in the U.S. West Graduation. It shifted 957,000 copies in its first week of sales, while 50 Cent's album, Curtis, only sold 691,000. Only? Okay. Anyway, before the albums went on sale, 50 vowed he would retire from making solo albums if he was outsold by West. 50 Cent axed his forthcoming European tour and performed at London Mobile Awards, the Vodafone Live Music Awards in London, as well as the MTV show in Germany. I think 50's made like all kinds of claims and never lives up to any of them. Pretty much. That's kind of been Fitty's thing, you know? All kinds of, always. And he never sticks to anything whatsoever. In 89 on this date, a concert in Los Angeles, Glenn Frey joined Don Henley on stage for the first time since the Eagles last played 9 years earlier. In 91, Metallica on this date kicked off their 138 Whenever We May Roam World Tour in Peoria, Illinois. That's kind of weird that you would start a tour in the center of the United States, right? I saw that, and I didn't think much of it until I saw Peoria, Illinois. And like, why wouldn't you start in Washington or in Maine or in Florida or down in New Mexico, California? So, you know, one edge and then start working your way around. You know what I'm saying? On this date in 86, Iron Maiden released their sixth studio album, Somewhere in Time. A great, great album. That's it. That's what we had in Musica History. Okay? There you go. Good stuff. So Momentary Lapse of Reason took 2 weeks to make the album, just the album cover. And what a crazy idea. We'll drag 600 beds onto the desert for a shoot. Like, wow, dude, that's a lot of effort, bro. Damn.
Yeah, but when you have their money, you know, you could think totally off the wall.
Yeah, but by now, they won't do that for albums because they don't sell them anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, no.
Like back then, they would go all out. It would
be computer. Yeah, it would be computer generated and now stuff.
Right. Yeah, they don't even have to go out there.
Actually do it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they won't do it now. No way.